The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better. Into the narrative of the book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of us. We learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. We seek to bring glory
David
to God.
David Spoon's life has been...
Whoops, that was a little early. we seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. First, the gospel continues through the disciples, just like it continues through you and me. Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission, and you are saved because of that Great Commission, because of that command that Jesus gave his followers. Think about that. Next, we examine the new players in the emergence of the kingdom of God, the 11 disciples, the women, the brothers of Jesus. Wow, the resurrection can sure change minds and bring people together. And finally, we borrow the prayer formula from a listener from yesterday, the push, pray until something happens. The idea is to keep on keeping on, especially in prayer. Ask, ask again, and ask again. Because those that keep on asking, those are the ones that are receiving.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Yeah, not so much. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. If you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T answers the phone. That's like getting 100% on a quiz. Ding, I got 100. Yay! Then you get a little star or sticker. Do you ever get stars or stickers when you got stuff like that? Did you get that, like, when in school?
I got stars and stickers, but I got a lot of them removed because I talked a lot. So I had it for like a few days and then get revoked within the next day or two.
That's pretty funny. I would get a really good grade and then they would write at the top, amazing! Which was like, what does that mean? How encouraging is that? What do you mean amazing? Thanks a lot. Anyway, so you can reach out to us. It can be for prayer requests, praise reports. It can be for answering Bible trivia. It can be something the Lord's doing in your life that you want to share. It could be a question you might have. If it's theological in nature, if it's simple, we'll do our best to answer. If it's complex, then we'll have to take some time. But we don't mind giving it a roll, as long as people aren't going to ask me to give the definitive church history on the ecclesiology position of, you know, the eschatological happenings for between year 47 and 55 BC to 47 and 55 AD. Don't ask me that, because I'll be going, what are you talking about? See, but if you say, how many tacos does it take you to be filled? The answer is a lot. See, now see how easy that is? So let's just do a little Bible trivia. I didn't say it made sense. The furnace into Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was heated how many times hotter than usual? Now remember, I gave you a clue in the last half hour. The furnace into Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were tossed into that furnace, how many times hotter was it than usual that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, fired it up to? For your answer, you want to look at Daniel chapter 3. That's the answer you want to look for, Daniel chapter 3. Somebody's already calling in because they are brave. Before we take that, I just want you to be aware. Look, at our show is pretty basic and forward. Any topics open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. We ready for somebody to answer? Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to? And it's a dial tone. It's okay. We have them call back. That's fine. That's something I used to say to my mom. By the way, I would say, Mom, my voice is going to sound strangely like a dial tone, but you keep talking. Oh, I used to do that when – well, you don't understand in Jewish families that's normal, okay? You guys think of Thanksgiving as a major deal. That's a regular dinner for us. All right, ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. A little down today, no sunshine.
Okay, well. There
ain't no sunshine. And she's gone. Yeah. When the sun's gone, it's no fun.
All right, my brother. So I can. You got a little bit of an echo on there on the radio. You might, if I don't even need to turn it down, or if it's just the thing. Or
is yeah, it's all. It must be the neurons in my brain working. Or something like that.
It's the extra brain cells. It's the extra brain cells that are giving radar detection.
There you go.
All right, amen. My brother. The furnace into which Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were tossed was heated how many times hotter than usual?
Well, you gave the key. I think it was 7, wasn't it?
That is correct, sir! 7 times hotter. Now, I'm not a genius. I've lived in Flagstaff. I've had really hot fireplaces, but I cannot even imagine what 7 times hotter a furnace would be from one moment to the next, and then how hot that would really be. It was so hot to kill the guys that brought him in there. That's pretty hot. That's pretty hot. Good job, bro. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I really hate to hear your story about Ethan, about your kids and stuff. I mean, God help us to understand what heaven's like compared to earth in the sense of being whole and never having pain or misery. You know, we just need that promise and that hope to hang on to.
Absolutely. You never let go. If you stop hoping, then you've really lost something.
Amen.
Amen, right. Brother. All right.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. God bless you, bro.
Bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, good job by Ace. Here we go, rolling and rolling and rolling. All right, so let's get into it because our time is tight, and I just wanted to cover a kind of a brief review on one point. So let's do our expository. What is our expository sound? Yeah.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
All right, so last week we talked, we were in Acts chapter 1. We were looking at verses 9, 10, and 11, and I just wanted to retouch on 11 just real quickly to make a point, and then I promise we'll fire into some really fascinating material, even in the next segment, stuff about the Sabbath day and the Sabbath day's journey. But in verse 11 of Acts 1, it said, who also said to the men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. There's a prophecy by angels in the New Testament for us to see. Very cool. But the more important thing that I didn't spend enough time on really talking about was how really different the ascension created ministry for everybody. So for Jesus, his ministry was on earth, and then he became the sacrificial lamb. Before he was an example, he was the offering for sin. Never forget that. So the first thing John said about him is, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so Jesus does his earthly ministry, goes through the process of the crucifixion, dies, resurrects, and now he had just spent 40 days hanging out with the disciples and giving them instruction regarding the kingdom of God, and now he's ascending. And people think, well, he's done. And it's like, that is absolutely incorrect. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Go read Romans 8. He is there to intercede for us. Now just think about it. Jesus has this ministry. He's the high priest. He's interceding for those who believe in him, who call upon his name, who follow him. He's in an intercessory ministry. It's like people think, well, intercessory ministry, that's not like being in the high profile spot. Look, there is no higher profile spot than Jesus. Jesus has the spot. He's the superstar. That's the end of the discussion. And right now, in his function, you know what he's doing? Interceding for us. And as he is interceding, and we find out from the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit got poured out because the Holy Spirit couldn't be poured out until Jesus was glorified. So Jesus raises up, is ascended, is reached into that part of glory. It's not the fullness of the glory, but it's the part of the glory that needed to happen for the Holy Spirit to be tossed out. Now the Holy Spirit has a new ministry. I mean, just think about that. The Holy Spirit's like, boom, the gospel, boom, the gospel. Wherever the gospel is, the Holy Spirit's going. It's like, wow, that's so cool, right? But then the disciples, they had a new ministry. Before, they were just following Jesus, going, yeah, is this right? Yeah, is this right? What are we doing? Is this right? You know, like, it's like, you know, hello, Mo. I mean, there was like the Three Stooges. But now that the Holy Spirit's been poured upon them, they're going from the 12 disciples, remember, to the 12 apostles. Right? Big time apostles now. All right. My whole point in telling you that is everybody has a new ministry because of the ascension of Jesus Christ, which is what Acts brings, which is true for you. You're a part of the new ministry because of the ascension of Jesus Christ. I could spend 2 hours on that. Just remember, you have a ministry too. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, he reached down and saved me.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow, fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yay! I think the weather's been, it's not been that bad, has it? It's been all right, right? I think it's been all right. You know, Al sent me, it's, you know, it's like hot Texas in an August day. It's like, you should go to Phoenix. You really want to know what hot is like. I mean, that's a dry heat. That doesn't count. All right, let's get the next trivia question going. At 121, it doesn't count, I promise you. What person in the Bible, what famous leader person in the Bible went to visit a witch at Endor? That's right, Endor, not a Star Wars original. What is the name of the person in the Bible who went to visit with a witch in Endor? For those that are trying to look it up, your answer is going to be in 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28. Okay, let's see. That's the phone. So I'm going to wait. I'm waiting because then I'm not going to do my joke yet. It's more of a cutesy joke. Yesterday was more of a cutty joke. This is more of a cutie joke. So I'm just telling you that ahead of time. Somebody already ready to get it in? Here we go. 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 Where's the ring? Here we go. There it is. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Wonderful to hear your voice.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing really good today, actually. I actually got home yesterday, and the dogs didn't destroy anything, which I was really
I was really
happy about. It was like, it's pretty sad when you come in the house, you run in, you open the door so that they can go out, and then you look around, and you're thinking, please don't let there be stuff all over.
No doubt.
So, anyway, all right, so which person in the Bible went to visit the witch of Endor?
Was it Saul?
That is correct. King Saul. Thinking he was going to go around the Robin and try and, you know, get the information without going to, you know, God kind of thing. I went to the witch at Endor, which was, you know, amazing since he's the one that declared that all witches should die. So it was kind of a weird process for him to establish the law and then go directly behind it, even of his own self, and then seeking wisdom outside the Lord.
Good job. No doubt.
Good job. Huh. Excellent work.
All right. Well, thank you. And y'all have a great day.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Good work. Okay. Here we go. All right. So I got a cutesy joke. It's cutesy, but it's a little longer. So you will know the line when I get to the line, but I got to go through it first. Ready? Okay. After the moving van had emptied his belongings into a parsonage on Wednesday morning, Pastor Olson walked down to get a haircut. He went to downtown. He wanted to look his best on Sunday and was delighted to discover a barbershop only a few blocks from the church. The sign on the door even read Lutheran Barbershop, which is perfect for him. Unfortunately, the barber was not in. "I can give you a shave," his wife said, "but I don't cut hair." "Well, sure," Pastor Olson said. "I can always use a good shave." Sure enough, the barber's wife did an excellent job. Olson asked her how much he owed, and she said $25. Shocked at the cost, the good pastor gave her the money, not wanting to make a fuss in case she turned out to be a parishioner. That's so pastor-like, isn't it? He woke up on Thursday, and his delight, he did not need to shave. Maybe this wasn't such a bad deal after all, he thought. On Friday, to his surprise, there was still no stubble. On Saturday morning, his face was still as smooth as a baby's behind. Confused, he walked back to the barbershop and introduced himself to the barber before inquiring about the excellent but expensive shave. The barber chuckled. "So you met my wife, Grace," he said. "Yes," Pastor Olson replied. "How did she learn to give such a close shave?" "I don't know," the barber said. "But once you've been shaved by Grace, you never have to worry about being shaved again." Oh, come on. It's got a little bit in it. It's got a little bit. It's cute.
It was cute.
It's cute. It's cute. All right. This is me ripping up the joke. See that? That's the sound you hear right now on the radio. Okay, there you go. All right. We just share everything. Okay, there we go. Let's get back into the text. Here we go. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 12. See, shaved by grace. Verse 12. "Then they returned to Jerusalem." So this is after the ascension. Jesus tells them that the Holy Spirit is going to pour upon them. "They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James." Okay, a couple things to tell you about this because we're following a narrative, so we're kind of teaching it a little bit different, and I want to make sure that we kind of work it together. A Sabbath day journey. So in the law, you could not go more than a certain amount of space or time without breaking the Sabbath. And they determined that it was 3/4 of a mile, okay? So what you have to think about is, you know, you don't have a vehicle, you don't have a bicycle, okay? You don't have roller skates or skateboard or anything. Everything was done either by animal or by walking. And so the walking, most things were pretty close. They weren't really quite as far away when it came into their little downtown area. Usually people were within a decent distance. But you couldn't go more than a Sabbath day journey. And a Sabbath day, 3/4 of a mile, under a mile is kind of how you would say it. You couldn't go more than a mile, which is still a lot of restriction. Verse 13, it says this: "When they entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying." So again, knowing how the culture exists and knowing kind of what's going on there, the way they used to do houses is almost the opposite. You can almost say it's the opposite of a house that we have styled in the United States. In the United States, we have bedrooms on top. Right? You got the living room and the dining room and the kitchen on the bottom. You have a basement underneath, and then you have the bedrooms on top. In the New Testament times, at this point, houses were reversed, and the bedrooms were on the bottom, and the social rooms were on the top. So that's why they went into an upper room. Okay, as opposed to somebody's bedroom. And even on top of the roofs, they used to do shows, so the roofs used to be more flat. Now, it's a good idea to have the roof pitched so the rain falls off it. I'm not disagreeing. But they used to use or utilize the space more than we would utilize the space and have different social events on the roofs. But in this time, when they're going to an upper room, pretty normal. Nothing bizarre there. That's kind of how their status was. And then it says this, and I want you to watch this. Peter, James, John, okay, so you got the main three, right? Andrew, Philip, Thomas, and Bartholomew. I've taught before a great way to remember the disciples, if you have a hard time remembering, is when you think of Andrew, Philip, Thomas, and Bartholomew, you need to think of BAPT, like for Baptist. B for Bartholomew, A for Andrew, P for Philip, T for Thomas, BAPT. So you got Peter, James, and John, then BAPT. Okay, that's a great way to remember a lot of them. And Matthew, who wrote a gospel. Okay, so that's not difficult. Then it says James, the son of Alphaeus, so he's the second James. Simon the Zealot, he's the second Simon. And Judas, the son of James. And the reason that this is pointed out is because there were two Judases, and this Judas isn't the bad Judas. So that you got to be okay. So you got two Simons, two James, two Judases, BAPT, and then a writer of the gospel, Matthew, and a writer of the gospel, John. So you got Matthew and John, that's two of them, BAPT, Bartholomew, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, two James, two Simons, and two Judases. It's like, okay, that you can remember that. That's not way out there. And what's important to recognize is they went through 3 to 3.5 years. They went through all this stuff together. And what I want you to catch is that even though Judas was lost. These 11 stuck it out. They had many hard times. They had many questions. They had many frustrations in trying to understand Jesus because they were kind of dense like we are. So that's why we go through frustrations. But in the end, 11 of the 12 were there. And then this is really a good point to make a note. Jesus selected Judas Iscariot. I want you to be aware that he elected him knowing that he was going to be a betrayer, knowing he wasn't going to do him right. But you know what Jesus did? He still invested his time and his insights and his giftings into Judas's life. There's a kind of a theory somewhere that says that, well, when the 12 disciples went out, Judas really didn't go with them, and that's why he did this or that. There's no backup to that in any scripture anywhere at any point. Jesus, even to a known enemy, one who would betray him, poured into him. So before we think, well, I'm not going to invest in this person because I'm not going to get something back out of this person, that's not how Jesus did it. Jesus invested knowing he wasn't going to get a return, but get a negative return. We definitely want to be more like Jesus when it comes to that. Okay? All right. That's kind of a cool, oh, yeah, that's a good illustration, right? Yeah, okay. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the other things, like the other people that were a part of this extension of the kingdom of God, of which you are a result of. This meeting took place. You're a Christian because of it. How about that? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment. God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing. It's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. Da, 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 da. I guess we could, that's probably not a good sound. Okay. It was all right. What was the name of the two, what are the names, not what were, what are the names of the two believers who discipled Apollos? Okay, so you remember in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, this is in book 8, this is in Acts 18. What were the name of the two believers who discipled Apollos? So Apollos, when he first started off, he was like, rawr, rawr, but a little rough around the edges, didn't have the full clear picture of the gospel, but was a powerful speaker. Two people pulled him aside and started to explain the way of God more clearly. Somebody already got it. That's so good. I love it when somebody texts in and they get it before I even finish. Who were those two people? Very nice work, by the way. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Here is your only hint. Married. They were married. Aha! 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 Ha. Ha. We get ready for history? Okay. Hey, let's do history. Let's do history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, couple things to tell you. In God We Trust technically started on April 22nd, 1864. Congress passed an act allowing for In God We Trust to begin appearing on the U.S. coins. The same year it appeared on the newly minted 2-cent piece and was soon used on other coins. 1965, the act instructed U.S. Mint to put it on all gold and silver coins. The Coinage Act of 1873. A lot of people don't know that. From 1864 to 1938, it appeared in different forms on different coins. And then in 1916, gold coins, silver dollars, half dollars, quarter dollars, and also on print. So it's like, what? It's also the official motto of the United States, In God We Trust, which the nation has not been doing that good. It's kind of like, ee. Well, I mean, we did trust. I don't know how good we're doing that now. So whatever it was, just like Israel, the children of Israel, fantastic. Whatever it was does not always necessitate it stays that way. Today is also National Jelly Bean Day, and I like the Jelly Belly, the flick, those like all those weirdy flavors, you know, like the popcorn. And the, have you ever had that?
No, I've actually never even heard of it.
That's your next treat. Next time I'm at the store, I'm buying you a bag. Okay, that's it. All right, that's it. It's only a couple bucks. You know, you don't have to be. Just you'll be like, that's jelly beans. That's so much better. Now, for those of you that remember this, I'll give you two things. 1993, the Holocaust Memorial Museum is dedicated in Washington, D.C. So that was cool. And then in 1978, I'll take you back a little bit for those that remember. Don't get upset, but they were on a mission from God. The Blues Brothers made their first appearance on Saturday Night Live. That's going way back. Okay, anything else we need to cover? Website? Should we do a website? Let's do a website real fast. Don't forget our website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, only thing I'm going to tell you about the trivia question, Acts 18. So what were the name of the two believers who discipled Apollos? That's kind of specific. We'll have to leave it there. Let's go back into our text. As we had just left off, they returned from Jerusalem from the Mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey, 3/4 mile. They entered into the upper room, which was normal. They were staying Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, and Bartholomew, that's the Baptist, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Okay? This is this portion right here. I'm going to blow your mind and tell you, this is not a guarantee, by the way. Maybe I'll do that next time. I'm going to just tell you something about the women that'll just blow your mind. You'll be like, what? But before we get to that, I want you to recognize verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord. One accord. In prayer and supplication. First of all, prayer is asking. Supplication is kind of a urges and a re-urges. It's kind of an urgency request, might be a supplication, okay? Like an emergency stay order kind of mentality, all right? These people were praying and they were continuing and urging. And I want you to be aware of what's going on. They're all together. They've just seen Jesus ascend, something they've never seen before, right? Nobody's really seen it the way that they saw it. The angels told them, okay, boys, let's go. Pitter-patter. Let's get at her. Come on, move on. So they move and they go and they go into this room. And here's the key that I want you to catch. They have no idea what's coming. So let me ask you this question real quickly as a Christian. While we have glimpses and small pictures of what we think is coming in our personal lives and in our circumstances, to a large degree, we have no idea what's coming. But the disciples do something that is a testimony for every one of us, and I'm taking the time because of how important it is to catch this. The Holy Spirit, we know, is about to be poured out. It's going to change. They're clueless as to how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to fall in. They're going to speak with tongues. It's going to be mind-boggling. Okay, and then keep in mind, it's going to be so mind-boggling that the Holy Spirit is going to fall on them. It's going to be a tremendous noise. People are going to come running. They're going to come out from the second floor down to the base floor to see people. It's going to be a happening like no other. But the one thing the disciples did do that was phenomenal is they got into one accord. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they got united in their petition. They got united in their prayers. They got united in their mindset of seeking the Lord and asking for the Lord's help. And what I want you to get is that before the Holy Spirit got poured out, they were one. And there's nothing like the circumstances of that moment to make them as a unit, right? I mean, their Lord had just ascended. The angels told them to go back into the city. They're all together. They have no idea what's going to happen. They start praying. They hook up real fast, getting into one mind and one accord. I promise you, some of their divisions that they had over that 3 years were not at the forefront of their thoughts. They were of one mind and of one accord in order to be pursuant of the Lord. They continued with one accord. I want you to really kind of get the feel of that. It's a one mind. It's a one, you know, one purpose of mind. In fact, I think the King James actually uses purpose of mind in their alternate reading. One accord, one purpose of mind. Think about the first time in the Old Testament, the entire Bible, when one accord, one mindset was talked about, and you'll go back to the Tower of Babel. And what happened is the people got together to build the Tower of Babel, and what is it that God said about the people who were going to build the Tower of Babel? He said, they're of one mind. And nothing that they've proposed to do will be withheld from them. In other words, that unity created a unique power to for those people in Genesis 11, for them to go forward, right, It was their work, but God split it up. It's not an accident, by the way, that this says this, because remember, the Tower of Babel, that's where the languages were split apart. Here, we're going to see another happening where the languages are unified in Acts chapter 2, which is really just an amazing, amazing element. But in both circumstances, the people were in one accord, and in both circumstances, God is involved. In the Tower of Babel, he was against it. And in Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that take it on. So they were never going to succeed because God wasn't going to bless it. He went and confused their language. But now in Acts chapter 2, we're going to see the exact opposite. You can see the exact opposite. God's blessing it. They're in one accord. They're one purpose of mind. God's going to bless it, going to reward them, going to bring great fruit out of this. Why that's important for you and me practically is for all of those who are living with people, all of those who have husbands and wives or families, whatever, being in one accord in your family is essential, especially for the outpouring of the Lord, especially for the Lord to show and to do great things. You have to be aware, a kingdom divided by itself cannot stand, which means it has to be united. And here they are, united. And what is about to be the reversal of the Tower of Babel. And instead of building a kingdom for their own name or for themselves, they'll build one for the glory of Jesus Christ. All involving language. Isn't that cool? All right. I got to give the trivia answer, because if I don't, I'll forget. So that's why T told me to give it. What were the name of the two believers who discipled Apollos? What were the name of the two believers who discipled Apollos? The answer to that is Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. And that's, yes, they rhyme. And that's in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 through 26. Took him under their wing and gave him a little bit more insight so he can teach with more specificity, more specifically the truth of the word. Okay? All right, there you go. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people, and have so for the last 5 years, from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. thrilled to have you on the show. It's
my privilege.
I just we got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All others.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, you guys might not enjoy some of this expository teaching as much as I do, but I love this stuff. I mean, I could do this. I could just spend the rest of my life doing this. This is great. So let's do our next trivia question. See, I think things like knowing that the Sabbath, how long the Sabbath journey was, and that they were in one accord, I think stuff like that's fantastic. All right. What is the name of the tree? This is in Revelation 22. Okay, giving you the address up ahead of time. What is the name of the tree that stands on both sides of the river of the water of life in the book of Revelation? What is the name of the tree? That's right, trees have names. What is the name of the tree that stands on both sides of the river, love the river, of the water of life? If you want to know about the river, then you need to read Psalm 46 or 7, I think it is. What is the name of the tree that stands on both sides of the river of the water of life in the book of Revelation? That's Revelation 22. I will tell you that, and it's in the beginning, so it shouldn't be that hard to find. You can call 972-445-0770. Joy stepping in there. Eric stepping in there. Correct, 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 correct. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. We are going to do a Hebrew word, so let's do our Hebrew sound, because I had another word that I wanted to do on the same page as the last time. So let's go.
Hava, nagila, hava.
All right, now this Hebrew word, this is a rarely used word, and it is not the normal usage of the word, so I'm telling you ahead of time so you can be ready. This word is favor, but let me read it. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of blessing of the Lord. This word is ratzon, ratzon. So the way you might remember it is, what was that? Sherlock Holmes and his partner was called Watson. So this is ratzon.
Okay. Ratzon.
Watson, only it's ratzon, ratzon. Pleasure, desire, delight, favor. The noun ratzon comes from the verb ratza, which means to be pleased with or be favorable towards. Ratzon refers especially to what is pleasing and desirable to God. The idea here is that Naphtali is to be satisfied with the pleasure, delight, and favor of God. Oh, Naphtali, satisfied with favor. So they're satisfied or blessed because they have the favor of God. Does that make sense? Okay, there you go. Okay, you ready? Do we have to do anything else? I don't think we did anything else, did we? All right. I gotta give T a break every once in a while because I just keep, you know, she has to do so much throughout the show, so I got to give her a break. Okay, so I don't want her to force her to. She's just got to remind me every show. Dave, trivia.
Oh, is it trivia? We got to do that? Oh, okay.
All right, so what's the name of the tree? Revelation 22. If you want to call in, you can. You don't have to. One way or another, I'm going to give it to you at the end. I'll give you the answer at the end. I want to look at verse 14 because I want to blow your mind. I'm going to tell you something that is not a fact but is very cool. Okay? Verse 14. So we just did this. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Okay? So you got three groupings of people. The women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, not to take a position for or against any of society's insane thinking, but there were plenty of women connected to Jesus Christ throughout his entire ministry, and at the resurrection, he first appears to a woman, and here in this case in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it has a group that's called the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, and those women are probably all the women that hung out with Jesus or supported Jesus or watched Jesus when he died, that whole process all the way through, who were faithful and diligent and were a part of the establishment of the church, which it's only ridiculous exegetical behavior that doesn't recognize that. It's like, what are you still? It says the women. What part don't you read? And in this case, get ready. Remember when it says that they went to Peter's mother-in-law's house? In this case, there are many commentators who think the women were all the women that went through the process with Jesus that we read about, Mary Magdalene, so on and so forth, but also potentially the apostles' wives, for those of them that had wives. We don't know. There's a whole group of people in this. It's fascinating. It's like, oh, really? It's like this would be the time that they all, okay, well, now that the three-year ministry part is over, now we're going to do this other thing, and they're all like... And you even hear that passage where Paul says, don't we have the same right to take his wife as the apostles and so on and so forth? So you know that they're in there. We just don't know who they are. And again, her name is not Epistle. The other part about that that's fascinating is the mother of Jesus, which is Mary. Now, unfortunately for some of our Catholic friends, they've taken that too far and think that somehow she was at the core of establishing that the church. That's not true. Peter was certainly the core person that was at the forefront of that process, so that's not correct at all. But she was a part of it and shouldn't be neglected, and she was a mom that believed that what happened to her. It was the Holy Spirit and her, that child, Jesus Christ, was a part of her, and she had a great connection, a special connection to Jesus, and she should be a part of it. She knows what's going on. The fascinating thing is it's the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. His brothers? Let me read you this passage out of Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers, James, Jose, or Judah, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, plural, are they not here with us? One of the things we know for sure is that Jesus had at least two sisters. We don't know if he had more. We just don't know. He had four brothers. Okay. No, nothing happened before he was born. But after he was born, there's four brothers, two sisters. And if you remember, the brothers were like, yeah, we don't think you're the Messiah. Yeah, we don't believe you. Okay. And it'd be hard for you to think that your brother's the Messiah. At least be honest. Oh, mom always favored him. He was just the perfect child. Okay. Right? But the reality check is that the resurrection changed everybody's perspective on what happened. Because you know what happened with his brothers? He's not real. He's not real. Then they saw him die. Then they saw him alive. It's like, that's it. He's the guy. I don't know. It's in our family. But boy, oh boy. And the power of that, the women, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, all being a part of this huge movement. And remember, the brothers, they weren't really saved before. I mean, it's hard to believe they were even saved, but the resurrection made them believers. James, the Lord's brother, turns out to be the leader in Acts 15. The family heritage kind of goes on. And it's amazing. They're in one accord, they're praying, and you get this identification of who these people are. And even after a long time, those of us that have family members that have never believed can still be confronted and turned to the faith, confronted by the resurrection and turned to the faith, even the most cynical. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. That's not for me to say, but certainly you keep presenting, because look what happened to those that were around Jesus, to Jesus's brothers. I mean, how would you like to be somebody called of the Lord, and the one place you don't get respect is in your household? A prophet is respected and honored everywhere but his own household, the Bible says. It's like amazing. Amazing. But here, the brothers, they got connected. Took a while. Took a resurrection. Just like, the miracles weren't enough. Okay, watch. Two fish, five loaves of bread, feed 15,000 people. Yeah, that's not enough. Death, now he's alive. Okay, that'll do it. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Okay? This is the core of the church. These are people that hung out with Jesus this whole time, invested in thinking he's the greatest teacher, da, 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 and then he dies, and they're disheartened, they're brokenhearted, then Jesus resurrects, and they're like, what is going on? Then he sends, and they're still clueless. But they're all together united in this cause of Jesus Christ. I mean, isn't that cool? That's some cool stuff. I love this stuff. This is the best stuff. Jesus' resurrection changed their minds. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. All right. Trivia, right? We got trivia? Okay, got to do trivia. What was the question I asked? Oh, yeah, the river. The tree. No, the river. I don't remember. What is the name of the tree that stands on both sides of the river of the water of life in the book of Revelation? The tree of life. The tree of life, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. Okay? All right. Let me pray real quickly for everybody, just real fast. Father, we come before you right now, and we petition you. We know that we have people in our lives that don't believe you, that don't believe in you, that don't really understand you, almost like the brothers, Lord Jesus, that you had. And it took a resurrection for them to change their minds and see the truth. So we ask you, Lord, to bring the resurrection reality to some of these people in our lives. Let them know and process and yield to and acknowledge the resurrection, that they may be a part of the church family forever and ever. We pray for them and for their salvation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okie dokie artichokies. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.